On the big screen, Smoke might capture the light in an interesting way, but it's also attracting the attention of American youth, and it's causing them to start smoking. According to a new study released from Dartmouth Medical School, 38 of every 100 adolescents who smoke started because of exposure to smoking in the movies. This is the first report conducted on a national scale to study the impact of smoking imagery in the movies on adolescents. With us to talk about these findings are Dr. James Sargent, who is the survey's lead researcher, a Dartmouth pediatrics professor, and director of the Cancer Control Research Program at the Norris Cotton Cancer Center in Hanover, New Hampshire. Dr. Sargent also is a practicing pediatrician. Also with us is Dr. Cheryl Healton, president and CEO of the American Legacy Foundation, a national public health foundation devoted to helping smokers quit and keeping young people from starting to smoke. The American Legacy Foundation is best known for its Truth Campaign, an edgy youth smoking prevention program that allows teens to make informed choices about tobacco use. Dr. Healton is also a public health professor and administrator. Dr. Sargent, can you start by giving us an overview of the study and its key findings?
Sure. As an overview, the study was conducted in part to replicate findings that we had in a northern New England sample. So we surveyed New Hampshire and Vermont adolescents and found a strong link between what they saw in movies and their own smoking behavior. So we replicated that in a national sample. We recruited over 6,000 10 to 14-year-olds from across the United States, and they represented 10 to 14-year-olds in the U.S. from all corners of the U.S., and we surveyed them in the fall of 2003. We asked them whether they'd seen movie titles, and then based on how much smoking was in each of the titles that they said they'd seen, we could construct an exposure measure that examined really how much smoking that they'd been exposed to. And we found a very strong link between the amount of smoking that they'd been exposed to and their own smoking behavior.
What are some of the key findings that you uncovered in your study?
Well, I think that probably the key finding is that because exposure to smoking in movies is pervasive, that is, most kids are exposed to it, it was the primary cause or risk factor for smoking in 38 out of 100 adolescents.
Are these statistics disturbing to you or surprising in any way?
They really closely replicate what we found in the northern New England adolescents, so we weren't that surprised by them. But they're concerning because smoking in movies has such a big impact on youth smoking.
And tell me, why was the focus placed on this age group of 10 to 14-year-olds?
If you want to study smoking initiation or the beginning of smoking, you study 10 to 14-year-olds because that's when kids usually take up the habit or where they start trying smoking. So, for example, the 10-year-olds in our sample, only about 2 to 3% of them had tried smoking, whereas in the 14-year-olds, it was over 30%. Looking at smoking initiation is important because a third to a half of adolescents who initiate smoking go on to be addicted smokers. Smoking is an incredibly difficult habit to give up. Most people that start smoking on a daily basis go on to smoke for 30 or 40 years before they give it up. Those people are at very high risk for experiencing heart attacks and lung cancers on the basis of their smoking. About half of them will die as a result of their smoking habit, and ultimately smoking kills about 400,000 Americans each year.
Dr. Healton, what is the significance of the findings for your organization's work and the work of the wider public health community?
Well, as you know, we focus on counter-marketing efforts such as Truth and state and local programs that we support, but they are being cut at the local level. So some of the activities that can counter the $15 billion a year that the industry spends in the U.S. alone are going away. Even the Truth campaign has had to sharply curtail its spending. The appeal of smoking is mostly to sensation-seeking youth, and they are the ones who are pushing the boundaries. So to hear that 38 out of 100 young people who start smoking did so because of the movies, you know, does give us a new tool in the arsenal to combat youth smoking. But that will require the film industry to step up to the plate and do the right thing. Now that this study is out, if they persist in having the youth movies littered with smoking, they will knowingly be doing so, and they know that it will have a deleterious effect on the nation's youth.
Well, would you consider then that these types of movies where smoking is portrayed is a risk factor for adolescents in this age group?
I certainly would, but I'd certainly want Dr. Sargent to elaborate.
I think that, it's important to realize that we're not saying smoking, the exposure to smoking in movies is the only risk factor. We know that teens who are exposed to parent smoking and friend smoking are also at risk, and that's why we had to control for those other risk factors in ensuring our scientific audience that it really was exposure to smoking in movies that was a factor in these adolescents' decisions to start smoking. That being the case, the fact that we controlled for 21 known risk factors for smoking, I think that we have a very strong case to make that states that smoking is a primary risk factor. I think that it's really important to take that information to the movie industry and try to make them feel more responsible for the youth smoking epidemic.
Well, let's see. The report found that three-quarters, about 75% of the movies that you really looked at in the survey, contained scenes, episodes where smoking behavior was portrayed. So it seems like smoking is a pretty common behavior in these films. Do you have any advice, either of you, in terms of what parents can do to guide their children when they could take them to the movies?
Well, the really strong point for parents is that just as you monitor whether or not your kids do their homework and whether or not they are supervised after school, you have to monitor what kinds of media that they watch. And the important point is that this is a media that particularly has a lot of risk behaviors depicted in it. And it's not just smoking. It's drinking and other risk behaviors. And you want to limit your child's diet. You don't want them to see too many movies, because if they eat too much, they become overweight. If they watch too many of these movies, they tend to get more favorable attitudes towards the risk factors and have higher risk for taking them up themselves.
Dr. Hilton, do you have anything specific that you would recommend to try to get the movie industry more responsible in terms of the kind of content that they put in their films? And also, what kind of advice do you have for parents?
Well, I think the most important thing parents can do, in addition to the monitoring that Dr. Sargent just discussed, is become activists around the issue. The Motion Picture Association of America's rating structure is set up by and for parents. We may not know how these images are getting into the movies, but we know how to get them out. And the studios are in a unique position to very quickly and simply make the decision to save young lives from tobacco addiction if they will only go right ahead and do it.
Okay. Dr. Sargent, the report really confirms what some folks have always said, that youth at this age are very, very impressionable, and they will model their behavior on people they like or admire, whether it be in music or films or television. Do you agree? What can the movie industry do to be more responsible about smoking?
Every time smoking is depicted in a movie, somebody's made a decision. It just doesn't appear there by accident. So it had to be a director that said, I'd like to have this character smoke. It had to have an actor who was willing to smoke on screen. The editor plays a role in determining whether there's a brand depicted or not. So every millisecond of a movie is programmed and edited and carefully looked at. These are decisions that are made by the people that make the movies. They should feel responsible for the impact that the decisions have on smoking in America's youth.
So do you favor including smoking in the movie rating system?
I think that it would be a great idea to include smoking in the rating system. You know, keep in mind that smoking is something that if a child takes it up, they have about a third of a chance, or about a third of the kids who take it up will go on to be addicted smokers. And of those addicted smokers who smoke the 30 or 40 years, half of them will die of smoking-related deaths.
Dr. Hilton, there is something called the four principles that you've mentioned that divide the movie content into rating systems as they apply to smoking. Can you go over that again?
Yes. These principles that have been endorsed by multiple organizations, including the National PTA, the AMA, the Academy of Pediatrics, and the American Heart and American Lung Association include having no brand depictions in movies whatsoever, having a public service announcement before each movie that airs that has any smoking in it, making an indication that the industry certifies that they took anything of monetary value in exchange for depicting tobacco, and that smoking in PG-13, PG&G movies not occur at all unless it is related to a historical figure who smokes. I would also like to add that, just as Jim mentioned, this is a very serious problem in that a third of all young people who view these images will actually have this as a causative factor in their becoming smokers. And smoking kills 400,000 Americans each year.
We're talking about movies, but related to that, kids are exposed to tons of images every day, and we know that tobacco companies have a very strong marketing and advertising program for their products. What can a public health organization like yours, American Legacy Foundation, do in terms of making a difference in preventing kids from ever starting to smoke or getting them to quit?
Well, the main program we have, of course, is the Truth Campaign, which is an edgy, hard-hitting ad campaign to encourage young people never to start smoking. And in order to keep that going, we will have to have a major infusion of funds, and we hope that that will occur, because without it, this campaign will go away in the fairly near future, and as a result, many more young people will take up the habit. So, first and foremost, someone, Legacy, Preferred, or any other entity for that matter, needs to continue national public education intended to help young people quit smoking. And it needs to be done in a very edgy and age-appropriate way, and in a way that cuts through the media clutter, which is so pervasive now. And if it does not do that, it will not be effective. So that's the critical issue. And it's very important, because there's a real risk that the Truth Campaign will no longer be able to be on the air due to financial constraints.
Do you have statistics in terms of pinpointing what difference Legacy and Truth have been able to make in terms of decreasing at all the youth smoking rate?
Yes, in collaboration with Monitoring the Future, we undertook an elaborate analysis of the change in the trend line in youth smoking that occurred in response to the launch of the Truth Campaign. And the result of that analysis is that 20% of young people who did not take up the habit did not do so because of the Truth Campaign.
Has the trend been that smoking by kids and adolescents has been on the rise, or is it decreasing? Dr. Sargent?
The trend in youth smoking has been down since the 1990s. That's one of the bright spots in public health of youth smoking. It's actually dropped.
It peaked in 1997, and it has been falling steadily ever since.
So do you believe that without counter-marketing of what kids are seeing in advertising by the tobacco companies and in pop culture, that this trend could rise again?
Yes, I do, because it's peaked once before, and youth smoking rates have shown themselves to be fairly volatile over the last 20 years.
Is there anything else that either of you would like to add to the issue?
I think it's worth saying that there are multiple strategies that need to be deployed to keep youth smoking down. One of them is to keep the price of cigarettes up, and that's one of the reasons everybody in the public health movement applauds anything that raises the price of cigarettes, because youth are very sensitive to price. Truth Campaign, really good counter-advertising campaigns like the Truth Campaign can have an impact, and they need to be continued. And at some point, we'll reach a floor that we can't get down below until we see the movie industry start making some changes, because they're clearly a very big part of this youth smoking.